Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 407, titled Pecunia Nervus Belli, Total War, von Clausewitz, and the American Current Accounts Deficit. This is being recorded on April 21st of the year 2003. The fact that I'm doing this program is probably proof that I'm as crazy as my critics claim I am. The professional cynic and late journalist Ambrose Bierce noted almost 100 years ago that, quote, war is God's way of teaching Americans geography. Well, not even God, in my opinion, could teach Americans economics, and in particular with the tangled webs that are unfolding or ensnaring all of us in this day and age. I think that, if it's not too late, it's going to be very soon, and it is to be hoped that somewhere somebody's listening and may be able to do something about the things that I'm talking about. What I'm going to be doing is talking about not only some of the events in and around the Middle East, September 11th, the Iraq War, the budget deficits in this country, the Bush administration's fiscal policy, but I'm going to try to put a number of different things in the context of what I believe is going on. And this is a conspiracy theory, and underlying this is an awareness, or should be an awareness, of the concept of Karl von Clausewitz, the famous Prussian military theoretician, who developed the concept of total war. Now, to make a very long story very short, although total war has come to mean all-out combat in the sense of slaughtering everyone, civilian and military, and doing as much military damage as is possible. That is one manifestation, or one possible manifestation, of the concept of total war. But what distinguished his concept of total war, and this was enunciated in, among other documents, his famous text On War. And this, by the way, was in the first half of the 19th century. In fact, the very first few decades of the 19th century, is that von Clausewitz understood that war necessarily involved the contemplation and engagement of the totality of one's opponent's resources, its civilian infrastructure, its educational system, and in particular its economy. And in turn, von Clausewitz and many subsequent German theoreticians noted the concept that war is the continuation of diplomacy by other means, or the continuation of politics by other means. What I'm going to be doing in this program is discussing not only what I believe to be the economic impact of September 11th and related events, but in particular, I'm going to relate these to global macroeconomics, to the appearance of a strange virus in Europe, which may or may not be natural. I am very suspicious about the appearance of SARS. And what I want to introduce to the listeners is to, well, first of all, let me stress that there are a number of things that necessarily must be contemplated here, and that I haven't even got time to start talking about, let alone finish talking about, in the context of everything else that we have. I want to call listeners' attention to an aspect of the assassination of President Kennedy that I noted in For the Record 327. In addition to being at the core of the assassination of President Kennedy, what I call the Underground Reich also affected the collapse of the commodities market on November 22, 1963, which, along with the assassination of President Kennedy, led to a huge collapse in the stock market, and in turn, the Underground Reich and the remarkable and deadly Bormann organization, about which I've spoken so many times, benefited from basically selling short. Something very similar was done in the run-up to September 11th, and both of those things, the selling short and the collapsing of the commodities market, and the manipulation of the commodities market prior to September 11th, are discussed at length and in detail in For the Record 327, among other programs. I also want to call listeners' attention to the many programs I've done about the growth of the euro, and in particular the theories of Friedrich Liest, the pan-German theoretician who advocated a Central and Eastern European economic union as a vehicle for effecting world domination. To make a very long story very short, in the context of what we're going to be talking about, I want to discuss terrorism, the possibility of the use of weapons of mass destruction by terrorists in order to destroy the United States, to bankrupt it, in effect, either its physical and or political destruction as a result. And I want people to consider a couple of concepts. First of all, again, as I said at the beginning of the broadcast, if indeed Ambrose Bierce was right and that war is God's way of teaching Americans geography, I will reiterate that I don't think even God could teach Americans economics, and that that's proof that the fact that I'm going to attempt to do a little bit about that here is probably the proof that I'm every bit as crazy as my critics maintain. But one of the absolutely essential concepts to understand, in fact, several of them, first of all, one must understand the concept of current accounts deficit. That's the sum total of public and private debt. It is running amok in the United States, and that ain't good, to make a long story short. One should understand that one of the things that is so significant about the advent of the euro, and this was something that I noted in For the Record 85, For the Record program number 126, and other broadcasts about the establishment of the euro. I've also talked about this within the last several months here on this program. One of the things to understand is the only reason the United States got away with the kamikaze economics that it engaged in the 1980s under Ronald Reagan and George Bush, in which the United States went from being the world's greatest creditor nation to being the world's biggest debtor nation inside of 8 years. A related, though distinct, concept was that the U.S. national debt was tripled in 8 years. One of the things to understand is the concept of the current accounts deficit, and in addition to understand that the only reason we survived the economic destruction that would have befallen us under Reagan and Bush was that the U.S. borrowed against the numbers, against the dollars held as reserve currency by foreign countries. So the dollar as the reserve currency of choice, and the concept of the current accounts deficit, or the economic reality of current accounts deficit, is absolutely essential to understanding what I'm talking about here. Also understand the von Clausewitz concept of total war in assessing not only the Bormann Group, which I believe, or the economic component of a Third Reich gone underground. Understand that the Bush family and the ThyssenKrupp organization out of Lugano, Switzerland, also the epicenter of the Muslim Brotherhood, are at the core of the Bush finances, and I believe, and I will go to the mat with anyone, that not only the Reagan and Bush administrations, but this administration represent the manifestation of the underground Reich in the White House. And what I'm going to be taking a look at is the application of total war as advocated by von Clausewitz and as perfected by the Underground Reich and the Bormann Organization. And we're going to be taking a look at economics, global economics, the position of the United States, how that has been affected not only by 9/11, but by the Iraq War, by the Bush administration's fiscal policies, in particular building up revenues and, while are building up the military in order to fight a war or a series of wars while slashing revenues. That, folks, is suicidal. And we're going to be taking a look at international fiscal policy and the advent, coincidentally, or as I suspect, not coincidentally, of SARS, a disease which, although not necessarily as lethal as AIDS or some other diseases, may indeed have a very, very, very lethal effect indeed on, if not the world economy, certainly the U.S. economy. So consider the concept of the current accounts deficit and the euro, which threatens to replace the dollar, or at least is weakening the dollar status as a reserve currency, and consider current accounts deficits and the euro, or the U.S. current accounts deficit and the euro, as weapons of mass destruction. And I mean that quite literally, and that in the context of von Clausewitz's concept of total war. Now, we're going to begin by reviewing an article that we looked at in For the Record 405, and this is by way of introduction and reinforcement. This is from the Financial Times of Friday, March 21st of 2003. This is an article by John, or actually an op-ed column by John Plender, P-L-E-N-D-E-R. It's titled, The Sinews of War, are Asian. And the title of this broadcast is actually Pecunia Nervus Belli, or Belly, actually. Money is the sinew of war. I believe I've mispronounced that in the past. I've pronounced it Belli, or Belli. It's probably pronounced Belly, because that, of course, is Latin. But Pecunia Nervus Belli. That's the title of the program, the subtitle, Von Clausewitz, The Concept of Total War, and the U.S. Current Accounts Deficit. By way of setting the context here, again, The Sinews of War Are Asian, by John Plender from the Financial Times of Friday, March 21st of 2003. The 19th century British political economist Walter Bagehot, B-A-G-E-H-O-T, had a pithy quote from Louis XIV on war finance. The last guinea, said the Sun King, will always win. In the case of Iraq, it will be the last U.S. dollar. And one of the more remarkable things about the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq is just how easily and cheaply the venture will be financed. I would add, this is before some other things have happened. On the face of it, war has rarely been waged in such inauspicious financial circumstances. At a time of extreme geopolitical uncertainty, the payments balances of the world's biggest economies are badly out of kilter. U.S. household savings are seriously depleted, and the deficit on the current account of the American balance of payments is close to an unprecedented 5% gross domestic product. That's critical. That's the current accounts deficit. And again, consider in the context of what I'm talking about, the U.S. current accounts deficit and the euro, literally as weapons of mass destruction. Continuing later, and this in the context of von Clausewitz and total war. The U.S. has, since the bursting of the stock market bubble, become a relatively unattractive destination for foreign private capital. Interest rates are low, the dollar is weak, and the U.S. economy will advance this year at less than its underlying trend growth rate. And by the way, I would also note that a place that might get nuked or wiped out, have large areas wiped out by weapons of mass destruction, say biological warfare or whatever, is not necessarily going to present the most hospitable investment climate. And this is something I've spoken about, and for the record, 353, 366, and 367. Basically, terrorism has a profound economic context. One of the reasons the U.S. has survived what it did, in addition to the whole concept of the dollar, or the actuality, I should say, of the dollar as the reserve currency of choice. One of the things that Bill Clinton successfully did was to basically begin to right this country's economic ship by making the U.S. a very attractive destination for foreign capital. Although the U.S. had a current accounts deficit of record proportions, the rest of the world had a current accounts surplus. And what Bill Clinton succeeded in doing was in basically creating a situation that made the U.S. an attractive place for foreign investors, and thus the current accounts surplus of foreign countries was invested in the United States. That changed dramatically, partially as a result of the Bush administration's fiscal policies, and partially as a result of September 11th, and I would submit that in the person of Grover Norquist, the point man for the Islamist presence within the ethnic outreach organization of the Republican Party, and also the point man for slashing taxes, you have a person who, in my opinion, along with Karl Rove, is the contact point, the primary agent of the Bormann Organization and the Underground Reich within the United States. And this is also not to necessarily imply that they're fully conscious of what they're doing. In connection with the collapsing of the stock commodities market on November 22nd, 1963, it appears that Tino De Angelis was placed under mind control. And in the age of mind control, for all I know, Karl Rove, or in this case Grover Norquist, could be completely unaware of what it is that they are actually doing. Bear in mind, too, that far more important and far more prevalent than mind control in the classical sense is simply greed. Greed is a powerful human motivator, and when combined with ignorance and stupidity, you have a truly awesome engine of mass destruction, a weapon of mass destruction if ever there was one. But going back to what I was talking about with Bill Clinton, net direct foreign investment in the United States in the year 2000 was $200.1 billion. In 2001, it was a little over $2.1 billion. There was a 99% drop in net direct foreign investment in the United States in 2001, partially as a result of the Bush administration's fiscal policies and partially as a result of September 11th. And I would submit that, there, in my opinion anyway, that there is a direct connection between those. And bear in mind the situation that has changed. Returning once again to this column, The Sinews of War Are Asian, the U.S. has, since the bursting of the stock market bubble, become a relatively unattractive destination for foreign private capital. Interest rates are low, the dollar is weak, and the U.S. economy will advance this year at less than its underlying trend growth rate. Yet, as private capital has fought increasingly shy of the world's largest economy, the central bankers have come to George W. Bush's rescue. Japan, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and Singapore alone have accumulated official reserves worth more than $1.1 trillion, of which the great majority is invested in dollar-denominated IOUs such as U.S. Treasuries. For many central banks, these reserves are earning much less in interest than they could earn back at home. This is not, of course, a philanthropic gesture. For Japan, with a stagnant economy, it is a matter of resisting an appreciation of the yen that would hit the export sector. The others maintain a dollar peg, largely for reasons of competitiveness. But now that the Asian economies are growing faster than the U.S., the bulk of whose external deficit is with Asia, a growing band of economic commentators argues that Asian currencies ought to appreciate against the greenback. That last part is true, but what is so significant here is that, repeating this last paragraph, this is not, of course, a philanthropic gesture. For Japan, with a stagnant economy, it is a matter of resisting an appreciation of the yen that would hit the export sector. The others maintain a dollar peg largely for reasons of competitiveness. Note, again, that it is the Asian central banks that have propped up the U.S. while the Bush administration is slashing revenues on top of the collapsing of the stock market bubble and in September on top of September 11th. And note again that no world leader has ever successfully slashed revenues while waging war. One does not do that. Right, and the last paragraph of this column, yet it remains the case that global finance has been exceptionally kind to Mr. Bush. And Louis XIV was indeed expressing an age-old verity. The Tacitus version was, pecunia nervus belli, money is the sinew of war. We should not forget that unlimited money, however helpful, cannot guarantee the peace. And I would note that vis-a-vis Iraq, the post-war is very likely to be more costly than the peace itself. In my opinion, the Bush administration, partially in order to satisfy its relatively one- or two-dimensional corporate thinkers who are only thinking of the profits that individual corporations might make, and in particular what people in Texas refer to as the "aw" business, we may very well be being drawn into a worldwide conflict with much of the Muslim world, which, in combination with the slashing of U.S. revenues whilst waging a huge military buildup to fight this war, will ultimately end up destroying the United States. And I think it's altogether possible that the United States may share the fate of the former Soviet Union, which will be, the United States would be, under the scenario I'm analyzing here, bankrupt, and ultimately, whether as a result of physical terrorism or the simple disintegration of society, through the result of bankruptcy, I think it's altogether possible that we may see the United States break up into a number of smaller countries. In particular, it would not surprise me if the South ultimately seceded, this time successfully utilizing the large Southern male contingent within the officer corps. This, again, would be contingent upon the economic and social disintegration of the United States. As ludicrous as that seems, I'm sure something similar would have struck analysts who would have suggested perhaps in 1975 or 1980 that the Soviet Union would cease to exist. Once again, turning to the Financial Times, this of Thursday, January 16th of 2003, Alan Beatty in Washington writes, U.S. finances set to head, quote, sharply into deficit, unquote. The U.S. government's finances are set to head sharply into deficit and stay there, quote, for the foreseeable future, unquote, the White House budget director said yesterday. Mitchell Daniels, director of the Office of Management and Budget, or OMB, said he expected federal deficits equivalent to 2 to 3% of gross domestic product for this fiscal year and next, and could not say when the budget would return to surplus. Now, bear in mind again, and I can't cover this all in detail, or as much detail as I would like, bear in mind that it is Grover Norquist who is the point man for the Islamists, in particular those Islamo-fascists, who were part of the milieu targeted in the all-important March 20th, 2002 Green Quest raids, and it is Grover Norquist who is the point man in this administration for slashing taxes. In that regard, he also works very close. In the latter regard, he works very close with Karl Rove, and we're going to be analyzing Karl Rove in weeks to come. Reviewing very quickly an article we looked at in 405, this research was researched for us by a listener from the L.A. Times of February 1st of 2003, an article by Peter G. Gosselin, G-O-S-S-E-L-I-N. Bush proposes new tax-free savings plan. And skipping down, reaction from advocates and critics was swift and strong. Quote, it's a tax shelter for the wealthy. This is really an attempt to help the president's friends, unquote, said Representative Robert T. Matsui, Democrat of Sacramento. Quote, it's unbelievable, unquote. From the other side, these are the building blocks of a new tax system, unquote, said Grover Norquist, president for the Conservative Americans for Tax Reform. Now, considering the global economy and considering the U.S. current accounts deficit and the euro as weapons of mass destruction, and I mean that quite literally, in the von Clausewitzian concept, within the context of the von Clausewitz concept of total war, consider Norquist's position as Islamist point man in the Republican Party and also as the chief cutter of revenues while the U.S. is building up its military to fight the Muslim population of the Earth Island. Wall Street Journal, Tuesday, April 15, 2003, on the front page of Section C has the following article by Robert Block, Dateline Kano, Nigeria. Some Muslims advocate dumping the dollar for the euro. In this sand-swept Nigerian town on the edge of the Sahara Desert, a Muslim cleric displaying anger about the U.S. war in Iraq recently exhorted his followers to take action to inflict pain on the U.S., namely, ditch the dollar and embrace the euro. European countries, unquote, preached Sheikh Ibrahim Umar Kabo, the head of Nigeria's Council of Muslim Scholars, again quoting, have refused to be fooled by America, unquote, and support the war. Again quoting, we should, therefore, encourage transactions with the euro and stop patronizing the American dollar, unquote. The Sheikh's advice was met with cries of down with America, unquote. The enthusiasm spilled into the streets with the faithful shouting, euro yes, dollar no, unquote. And the article goes on to describe the impact, the possible impact throughout the Muslim world of not only the propaganda that that Muslim world has heard about the United States, but also the call to embrace the euro and turn its back on the dollar. What we're going to be looking at now very quickly, and we're going to come back to the issue of the dollar versus the euro. We're going to review the world's petroleum economy and the fact that Iraq was the first country within OPEC to begin pricing its oil in euros rather than dollars. We're going to be taking a look at pressure on Boeing to do the same thing, to price its product in euros instead of dollars. But considering the pecuniat nervus belli concept, considering that money is the sinew of war, and considering the article by John Plender that the sinews of war are Asian, consider the following in the context of total war. Articles about SARS and its impact on not only the global economy, but the airline travel industry and the aircraft manufacturing business. Note also the impact of September 11th on the same industries. Note its impact on the airline business. Note its impact on aircraft manufacturers. Very similar to the impact of SARS. And one of the questions I'm asking here is, are they part of the same process? Is this an application of the concept of total war to the current world economy? And consider within that context the U.S. current accounts deficit and the euro literally as weapons of mass destruction. Few articles, few papers, real quickly, and then we'll continue in the second side of the program. San Francisco Chronicle, Sunday, April 6, 2003, front page of the business section by David Armstrong. This is called Economic Tsunami. It has all the appearance of a perfect storm. A virulent confluence of factors has shaken the global economy in recent weeks and caused companies to put international business on hold. The most disruptive have been the flu-like severe acute respiratory syndrome from Asia and the war in Iraq with its associated fear of terrorism. Skipping down. Complicating the possible long-term effects of the war is its timing. The war is being fought while the U.S. economy is still struggling. The dollar has fallen by 17% against the euro since early 2002, making imports from countries such as Germany and France costly for Americans. And we're going to continue with discussion of SARS, terrorism, the Bush administration's fiscal policies, and its impact on not only the U.S. economy, but the impact of the euro on the dollar and the dollar's status as reserve currency of choice. And we're going to be taking a look at the airline business, the aircraft manufacturing business, and the von Clausewitz concept of total war. The various broadcasts that I've done over the years are all available from a tape duplication service and CD duplication service now called Spitfire, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E, P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. The email address for Spitfire is mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. Visit the Real Audio-equipped Spitfire website at spitfirelist.com for descriptions of all of the programs that I've done over the years, and there are detailed article-length annotated descriptions of the For the Record programs in the For the Record section. Sister station WFMU, the heroic WFMU at basically ground zero across the river from the World Trade Center, is archiving, where the World Trade Center used to be, I should say, is archiving the For the Record programs on Real Audio. More recent programs streaming at WFMU.org/Dave Emery. Older programs available for download only at a longer URL linked to both the For the Record section of the Spitfire website and the WFMU.org/Dave Emery website. I don't get any money from the arrangement with Spitfire, and be aware that Spitfire will provide CDs or tapes to any radio station that wishes to air the For the Record program free of charge. This concludes, that is to say, they will provide them free of charge, and I don't get any money from the Spitfire arrangement either, by the way. This concludes side one of For the Record program number 407, Pecunia Nervus Belli. To the von Clausewitz, the concept of total war and the U.S. current accounts deficit, being recorded on April 21st of the year 2003. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.